May be seated. This past week, our brother, Pastor Delgado, has been over in Spain, his native country, and the reason it took him home this time was not a pleasant one, really. His grandmother passed away, and our brother took the funeral service, and there were many, many people gathered in, many unsaved folks. And it was another good opportunity to get the gospel to people, some from Roman Catholic background, and just pray now the seed of the word that was sown there would yet bear a much harvest for the honor of the Lord Jesus. So please remember our brother. He'll be traveling home later tonight. It's a joy to welcome our brother Roger Valenciano to the pulpit again. As you know, our brother is here as a ministerial intern, working with us in Toronto for at least a period of 1 year. He is from our Calgary congregation, but yet before that, he is from the country of Brazil. And so we welcome him here and pray the Lord will bless the word that he brings to our hearts tonight. Lord be with you, brother.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, we bow down before thy holy presence tonight. O Lord, we pray that thou will meet with us here. O Lord, we pray for thy presence. O Lord, we need thee. O Lord, thou art our only hope, our only portion, O Lord, and we pray that thou will speak thy word to us tonight, O Lord. Speak to sinners. Make them understand the seriousness of their condition before a holy God. O Lord, open their eyes. O Lord, speak to us. O Lord, we need to hear from thee. Use thy servant, O Lord. I know my own unworthiness, O Lord, but help me tonight. Be with us, O Lord, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our text tonight is in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Luke 19. And we will read the first 10 verses. And the word of God says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious and inspired word to our hearts tonight. This passage that we just read from the Bible happened in a city called Jericho. Most of you, I believe, know about the story of the taking of Jericho and how the walls, they fell after the people of Israel marched around the city for 7 days. Jericho was destroyed at that time. But after that, during the times of Jesus, the city was once again a busy and prosperous place. However, it had no good reputation in those days. It was a cursed place, full of sin and immorality, where the people were living far from God. And in that context, Jesus came to visit that city. But Jesus came to seek and to save which was lost. Jesus came to this world to destroy the curse of sin and to show that in a very clear way. He went to Jericho, a place where sin reigned. And Jesus went to Jericho specifically to meet that man, Zacchaeus, a man that was very far from God. So I would like to invite you tonight to follow with me for some brief moments the life of this man, Zacchaeus, a man that had his life completely changed after he had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to consider with you three different periods of Zacchaeus' life. First, I would like to consider with you that period before Zacchaeus met Christ. I'd like to see with you a few characteristics of Zacchaeus before he met Christ. The first one is that Zacchaeus was an important man. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus was the chief among the publicans. The publicans served as tax collectors for the Roman Empire. They made some very good money in that business, and even more if you consider that most of them, they were dishonest. And Zacchaeus was the chief among them, a powerful position, a position of influence. And Zacchaeus, because of his influential position, was certainly able to accumulate a lot of wealth. He was rich. And power and money, as we know, have this tendency to give many people a false sense of security. They think they are immune to problems. And because of their success, they may even think that they are better than others. But repair that the people from that place, Jericho, they had a very different opinion regarding Zacchaeus. It is evident from the passage we read that Zacchaeus was a sinner. And the Bible here is not trying to give the idea that there are some that there are sinners and others that aren't. The idea here is that Zacchaeus was a notorious sinner. Publicans were known for being very wicked men. and very corrupt in their practices. And Zacchaeus was the chief among them. That's why the people were shocked and murmured when they saw that Jesus was going to be guest with Zacchaeus. He was a notorious sinner. He was known for that. But there is one more interesting thing about Zacchaeus before his conversion. That Zacchaeus was curious about the Lord Jesus Christ. We can read in verses 3 and 4, "And he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." Many people in this world, they are fascinated by the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking here about believers only. There is something about Jesus that attracts people. And Zacchaeus was one of those attracted by what he has heard about Christ. He certainly has heard about his miracles, his wisdom, that he was a powerful prophet, and maybe even has heard that he was the promised Messiah. And that has created a curiosity in Zacchaeus. He sought to see Jesus. He ran before him and climbed up in a tree. It sounds as he was acting even like a child to see Christ. Think about that. Such an important man, an upper class man, acting like a child to see Jesus. But there was still some distance between Zacchaeus and Jesus. He was close to him. He was looking for him. But he still didn't know him. And this first period of Zacchaeus' life teaches us an important lesson. We can be close to the Lord Jesus Christ without knowing him. If we want to get saved, we need more than a curiosity. We need to have a personal experience with him. We need to meet with him. And doesn't matter how curious we are, if we don't know him, we are still not saved. We are still sinners far from God's grace. Instead of trusting in God's grace that can be found only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be as Zacchaeus, trusting in other things. Zacchaeus trusts in his money and power, as many people nowadays they do. But there are many other things that people can trust on. Some people trust in their family tradition, in a religious system, maybe even in how smart they are, or in how successful they are, or maybe even in the good things that they do. Maybe even as being curious about God, attending church every week. That's not how we can get saved according to the Bible. They can even be good things, but they can't save anyone. So tonight my question for you is, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't have that personal relationship with him, you can't stay as you are. And that's because, as Zacchaeus, you were also a sinner. Maybe not a notorious sinner as Zacchaeus, maybe even all the people that you know, they consider you a very good person. But the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We cannot comply with God's standards because God demands perfection. He is perfect. And we all know that we are not perfect. So in God's eyes, we are all sinners. God's word is clear that unless if we repent from our sins and turn to Christ for forgiveness, that we are separated from God. We are sinners, and that is something that we cannot change by ourselves unless if God changes in us. And if you don't have Christ in your life, doesn't matter how good you think you are or how smart, doesn't matter if all your family is religious, even Christian. If you don't have Christ, you still need to get saved. You need to make peace with God by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you'll not end up your life in heaven. It's a place full of joy, but you will end up your life apart from God in hell, where there will be suffering for all eternity. But I am happy to tell you that Zacchaeus had that encounter with Christ, and therefore he is now in heaven, rejoicing in God's presence. And that's what I want to talk to you now. I would like now to talk about that special moment when Zacchaeus met with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can read about that in verses 5 and 6. It says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and came down, and received him joyfully." This passage teaches us some lessons on how Christ receives sinners. First, observe that Jesus came to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he thought that he was seeking Jesus. But what we read here is that it was Jesus that was seeking him. Jesus was not caught by surprise. But when he got to that tree where Zacchaeus was, Jesus, he looked up. He knew where he was and call him by his name. It was not a coincidence that Jesus was there. Everything was planned and intended by him. It is Jesus that pursues sinners. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. We think that we are the ones that will reach God by our own means. But in fact, it's God that seeks us. Jesus, he is full of grace, mercy, and compassion towards sinners. He came to rescue Zacchaeus in spite of his reputation of being a notorious sinner and as someone hated by the people of that city. How great is the love of God? How much does he love us? He came to save Zacchaeus, and he came to save me, even me. So after coming to Zacchaeus, we can read the second thing that Jesus did in his encounter with Zacchaeus. We read that Jesus asked
Zacchaeus to come down from that tree. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Zacchaeus was asked two things, to make haste and to come down. And that's how Jesus calls each of us. He wants us not to postpone things, but go to Him right away. We need to simply believe and trust Him. And in the same manner, Jesus wants us to get closer to Him. Zacchaeus was on that tree because he was curious about Jesus. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, but from a distance. But Jesus calls us to be close to Him. He wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. He wants us to be His friends, to be part of God's family. And when Zacchaeus did that, when he came down, we see that Jesus received Zacchaeus. Jesus said that today I must abide at thy house. That separation and enmity between God and the sinner, it was over. There was reconciliation. Jesus could finally dwell in Zacchaeus' house. That shows us how gracious God really is to us. Jesus receives not only poor people, but also rich people. He receives not only small sinners, but also great sinners. Even people that had a life full of sin and repent only when they are old, God still receives them. God makes no distinction of person. Jesus said in verse 9, "This day is salvation come to this house." Zacchaeus saw that Jesus was more precious than the things that he needed to leave behind. He was rich, but his riches were not that important for him anymore. He gave half of his money to the poor and even promised to pay back whatever he has stolen from others 4 times. So he came down from that tree and met Jesus. And Jesus dwelled in his house. And that made all the difference in his life. So now I would like to ask you, what is that thing that's causing you not to come to Christ? Christ is here at this place, even now. Don't watch Him from a distance only. Christ is calling you to forget your own devices, to secure salvation and trust Him. He wants you to give up on whatever you think you can use to grant your salvation with God. It's not your religion that is going to take you to heaven, nor your family, nor your good works, or nothing else, but Christ alone. He's the only way to God. He's the only mediator between God and man. He's the only one that can provide you salvation. And Jesus tells you to make haste, to come with no delay, to just trust Him. Repent from your sins. We all know that sometimes we do things that are not good, that displease God. And those things, even little things, they separate us from God. Zacchaeus, when he came to Christ, he recognized that he did wrong as a tax collector. And he was willing to fix things and instead do what pleases God. that experience with Christ will change your life completely. That's why we can see in Zacchaeus, third period in his life, the period after Zacchaeus met Christ. And I would like to call to your attention the two aspects of that transformation in Zacchaeus' life after he met Christ. The first one is that there was a change in his heart. We can see that in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. So moved by Jesus' undeserved love and acceptance, Zacchaeus publicly repented of his previous sinful lifestyle and promised to give half of his money to the poor. Also, he vowed to make restitution for all the times he did wrong in his work as a tax collector. Notice here that Zacchaeus didn't do that to gain God's favor. He already had that. But he did that instead in gratitude because he understood how much God has forgiven him. Zacchaeus, he understood the gospel. He understood that he had a great debt before God because of his sin. And also that Jesus paid for that freely, graciously. And Zacchaeus was so thankful for that, he could do nothing else than to do the same to others. There was true repentance. There was a true transformation in Zacchaeus' heart. And that inward transformation reflected in an outward transformation after he met Christ. There was also joy in his life. Zacchaeus received Christ joyfully. And that's because there is joy when we meet God. We were created, as our shorter catechism says, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And Zacchaeus was, for the first time in his life, experiencing that joy. And what a great experience that is. That there was no more wall separating him from God, but now had fellowship with him, and he could rejoice in his presence. We were made for that, and we can't miss that in our lives. Otherwise, we will never have real joy. Until then, we know that there is something missing. We know that there is nothing in this world that can really satisfy our hearts. We can try different things and believe that if we have this or that thing, it will finally bring us joy. But that will never happen. And to illustrate that, I would like to share with you a quick experience that I had. A long time ago, I applied for a position as a software engineer, which I got. I was interviewed by my future manager. We talked about the position and the company, and everything seemed great to me. But the fascinating thing about that interview was that the manager shared with me that he was in that position for about 10 years, and he was aspiring for a position as a director in that same company. So I started that job, and since the very beginning, I've noticed that my manager, he desired to get that promotion to become a director, was much more than just a desire. It was an obsession. Everything that he did in that company The way he managed the team and everything else was done with that specific purpose of getting that promotion. Every time I talked to him or in the team meetings that we had, one thing was sure. He was going to talk about that promotion. It was all that he needed to be happy. And after 6 months, after I was interviewed by him, he finally got it. Everything that he dreamed about finally had happened. And then he was the happiest person ever for about 2 weeks. After that, he started talking about aspiring for a position as a vice president. I was shocked on how quick his satisfaction for that new position disappeared. I'm not kidding, I'm not exaggerating about that. After 2 weeks, he went exactly to that same state as he was before the promotion. And that example is to give you an illustration that there is no fulfillment in the things of this world. Even when someone has clearly plenty, he still feels that there is something missing. And we all know somehow that there is something missing in our lives. And that something that we miss really is God. We are created to enjoy Him. He's the only one that can fill that emptiness in our hearts. So, what are you waiting for? Jesus is calling you to a life where you can experience real joy, where you can have communion with Him, and that for all eternity. What is making you postpone that? There is a clear contrast between Zacchaeus and the rich young man mentioned in the previous chapter in Luke 18. Both were described as rich, and both were called by Jesus. But what a contrast in their responses. While Zacchaeus was described as full of joy when he came down from that tree, responding to Jesus' call, what we read about the young rich man when he received Jesus' call to follow him was very different. It says in Luke 18, verse 23, "And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich." My friend, there is only sadness and a life full of grief if you decide to have a life apart from your God. You may think it is good, but that's only a lie from the devil. Sometimes things can appear to be good, but you will notice that with time that there will be less and less fulfillment in those things until you will one day feel only emptiness. Come to Christ today with no delay. Repent from your sins, trusting Him for your salvation. He has promised to receive you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, we are amazed by Thy love toward sinners. O Lord, that Thou came down from heaven in all Your glory to seek us and to save us, O Lord, from our sins, from an eternity far from Thee, O Lord. We praise Thy name, O Lord, for such a great love. And we pray that tonight here, O Lord, right now, O Lord, we work in the hearts of the ones that are in darkness. O Lord, we pray that Thou will open their eyes, that they can see the Lord Jesus Christ in all His glory and in all His love and in all His goodness to them, O Lord. Bless, O Lord, each and every one tonight. O Lord, give to Thy people that same joy that Zacchaeus had, O Lord, when he got saved, O Lord. Make us serve Thee more fervently, with a greater zeal, O Lord, that we can rejoice in Thy work, O Lord, that we can be joyful servants of Thee, O Lord, that we can even have that same zeal that Christ had to come, O Lord, and pursue sinners, that we can make an effort, O Lord, to spread the gospel, O Lord, that we can be instruments, O Lord, of Thy grace in this world full of sin and in darkness, O Lord. Bless, O Lord, Thy people. Send Thy Holy Spirit, O Lord. Encourage us. Give Thy power, O Lord. Help us make our lives useful to Thee, O Lord, to Thy work. Help us even this week, O Lord. We are thankful for Thy presence here tonight, that Thou will be our portion this week. O Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.